already 9 o'clock, 2 hours down, 3 hours to go. Keith McPherson on the fan, you heard? Another 5 hour KM to AM in here watching the Dodgers. It's a good game. Only 4 hits in the game. One of those hits belonged to Kike Hernandez. That was a solo shot. Another one from Freddie Freeman. He's at the plate right now. He has his right ankle taped up outside the cleat, almost like football players do. He's clearly hobbled and not himself. That's another note for, you know, potentially the Dodgers advancing. One of their best players, a former MVP, is really on a leg and a half. I was just talking to Marco about Yamamoto. He said he heard Dave Roberts say, yeah, we're just trying to get Yamamoto through 4 innings, then we'll see. Ooh, Freddie. That's an out. That's a long out. At the warning track, Jurickson Profar makes the play. What else from this game? Yu Darvish. It's a battle right now. But like, I did think that was interesting, Marco saying that Dave Roberts said, yeah, we're just trying to get Yamamoto through 4 innings. You're $350 million ace? You're just trying to get him through 4 innings in an elimination game? Yeah, well, we'll go to the bullpen. We'll empty the bullpen in this elimination game. That's baseball, Susan. That's not Susan's brand of baseball, but that's baseball today, Susan. 888-808-1019. Roscoe out in Brooklyn on the fan.
And all the crime that we did for Yamamoto.
Yo, it's crazy, right?
It's crazy. All the money he got. I mean, I feel like by next year he'll adjust. You know, it was tough. You know, it was tough for him, man. Listen, man, I wanted him on the strikeouts, but you're talking about he only needs 4 innings?
He signed for $325 million. I think I said $350. I only wanted him at $250, and then that number started to keep going up.
It was crazy, and then you got to get the international guy.
We knew he wouldn't be. I mean, he was hurt this year, and he did have a little bit of an adjustment period, and we knew he would have an adjustment period looking at what Kodai Senga's first year was like.
Keith, they only had him for three plus strikeouts for tonight. That's sad, though. This is supposed to be your ace.
I knew it. I knew it. We gassed it in New York. But why did we gas it, Roscoe? Because it was Mets fans versus Yankees fans thinking that we were bidding on a player, and we built this player up to be something more than he actually is right now.
Keith, I've been being humble because we in the next round, so I decided to call now. You know what I mean? I kind of want the smoke. Like, we just got to get through this next round. I'm not going to touch the money. We got to play baseball. We got to win 4 more games. But I want that smoke from Queens, bro. Real talk.
Heard you.
Like, I hope that we both can succeed and make it to the promised land, Keith, because it's New York is going to be something different this time. Like, all these young kids that you call up to you, imagine a Subway Series, Keith, man. Like, I know people don't want to touch that money, Keith, but I want all that smoke because the little brother needs to get shut down, bro. Real talk. Like, they got us this during the regular season.
Check me out, Roscoe. When we played them last time, the Yankees had Jamai Jones leading off, J.D. Davis batting cleanup. Carlos Narvaez was in the lineup. Like, it's not going to look like that this time around.
Real quick, what are we going to do with our game one starter for the next round? And is Cole going to do game 2 and then game 7, which I think should be the thing? I'm going to let you go on that.
Yeah.
All right?
Appreciate the call, bro. Thanks. I think you're going to put Carlos Rodon out there in Yankee Stadium on a Monday again and say, let's try this again, Los. This time around, control your emotions. This time around, if you come out striking out the first 3 batters, don't hop off the mound. You know, stick your tongue out at their dugout. Don't, you know, just be cool, calm, and collected and know that, like, there's more work to do. Take a page out of Francisco Lindor's book. Like, I hate to call Rodon out because we're in a good place and we won and, you know, we lost that game, but when you look at Lindor hit a grand slam to send the New York Mets to the NLCS, and he just takes his regular home run trot like it's any other day, and Carlos Rodon, after just striking out the first 3 batters, it's like one guy is legit and like that, the other guy was like putting on. It was a false bravado. It was almost like Carlos Rodon couldn't believe it himself, right? It's like when you hit a parlay, he reacted like he got lucky. Lindor reacted like, no, that's what I'm here to do. That's what I'm supposed to do. Like, what else did you expect me to do with the bat in my hand, bases loaded? Of course I'm going to hit the ball out. but we still got outs to get. 888-808-1019. Ryan in New Haven on the fan. What's up, Ryan?
We got the Yankees, baby. First time, long time caller, man. I love you, Keith.
Thanks for the call.
I really think the Yankees are about to turn it on right now. We're all talking about the Mets right now, but Judge is about to turn it up. He looks like he's about to start hitting the ball right. Cole's pitching right. What do you think about him pitching game one, what Evan was saying all day?
I don't think they're going to pitch Cole on short rest. And I think you pay Carlos Rodon the money that you pay him, and you say, like I just said, Carlos Rodon, let's try this again on a Monday night in the boogie down Bronx, right? Because he pitched last Monday. Let's try this again on a Monday. Control your emotions. Go out there and shove against the baby Tigers or maybe the Guardians, and let's see what these Yankees look like. But I'm 100% with you on Judge. With Judge getting on base, Judge hitting that extra base hit, Judge stealing a base, Judge finally broke through a bit, where I think when he comes back to Yankee Stadium, it's not going to be so tense. He's not going to be pressing so much, swinging out of his shoes. His timing will be back, and I think they're back in the flow of things. I talked a lot. Thanks for the call, Ryan. I want to keep you there as I go on this run. I talked a lot about the Yankees being in that stadium with it empty. I talked a lot about the week off that they had where they were doing workouts, they were doing media availability, taking batting practice, doing drills. And then just a switch gets changed and Saturday night comes and it's 6:38 and you've got all these wild and crazy drunk Yankee fans and it turns into welcome to the jungle, welcome to the jungle, right? And they're flicking the lights and all the postseason antics and all the different things going on. It's like, whoa. Like, they don't do that for the regular season. It wasn't just any other day. It's like, no, this is real now. This is the greatest stage. The lights are very bright. Everyone in here is amped up, thirsty, and ready for this team to get to the World Series. They were pressing a little bit. And they found a way to win the first game despite Judge, which was great, despite Cole, which was great. And then in the second game, you know, Carlos Rodon, after they score one run, Carlos Rodon follows that up by giving up four runs, and that was the game until Jazz hit a meaningless home run. And I knew that as a team that was 50-31 going on the road, that would activate them as well. They're road warriors. They play better on the road. They play better away from us crazy fans who live and die with every pitch and sigh after every ball that's hit into an outfielder's glove. You just hear it in the stadium. The ball gets hit. Oh, it's like, yeah, that's an out. You guys got to watch the feet of the outfielders. I'm in the stadium all the time. Like, every ball that goes in the air is not a home run. I know you guys are ready for it, but, like, the Yankees feel that too. There was a ball that Judge hit the right field almost to the warning track, and they showed the replay. I ended up watching the game after I was at the game, and, like, Volpe was, like, one leg over the dugout thinking it was out. And then they showed their, like, emotions of a letdown. I think that now that the Yankees have been playing, they have played four games, they have gone on the road, they have gotten back into the swing of things. They had, you know, a little benches clearing. Like, I think now, and they get to pop champagne again. I think now they're into it. Their leader, their captain showed up. Their ace showed up. Giancarlo Stanton, a former MVP, multiple-time All-Star, showed up. I think when they show up Monday, I'll see you there. They're going to be ready to roll. They're going to be ready to ride. It's going to be a good time. And it doesn't matter if it's AJ Hinch and the baby Tiger Cubs. And it doesn't matter if it's Stephen Vogt, Chief Wahoo, and the team formerly known as the Cleveland Indians. Bring the Guardians on, whatever. Tommy's in Dix Hills. Tommy, you got it.
Hey, what's going on, Keith? I'm actually, I heard a couple of callers ago was talking about how badly you guys want the Mets. In your honest opinion, do you really think you have the edge over the Mets right now?
I don't know if anybody said how badly they want the Mets, because I don't think any Yankee fan in their right mind should be wishing for that. Be careful what you wish for. But it should be, we're taking on all comers. We're the New York Yankees. We have the best hitter in the game. We have one of the best pitchers in the game.
Like, wait, best hitter in the game, which one? Are you talking about Judge or Soto?
Judge.
Okay, what has Judge done in the playoffs that is the best hit on the game?
It doesn't matter what he did in the last series. If Judge can turn it on in the next series, watch out. You have no idea. What if Judge is activated now where he hits five homers in the next series and like powers the Yankees to the World Series? Then nobody's going to care.
Capital IS, if, right? So yeah, we if. All talk
what,
about this. What
if,
I listen
what
to the fan
what if
all
Lindor's
day
back
long.
Flares up again and he can't play in this
year? Yeah, right. 100%. But we're also talking about, like, everything that happens in the regular season is forgotten. Not a lot.
I dumped it. But he should still be there. You still there, Tommy? Oh, he must have hung up. Can't use the S word. You know, these back and forths, you guys get rolling, you forget we're on the radio. I mean, I'll talk it with you. That's what I said in my open. That's what I said on Twitter. Like, tonight I got time. If you guys want to talk back and forth, Subway Series, Mets versus Yankees, we can do it. But just keep it clean. This is a children's show. There's a lot of young guys that listen to my program. We are the world. We are the children. Joseph is in Nutley, New Jersey. Next up on the fan.
Hey, what's up, man?
You know, watching the Dodgers get out. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, 58 pitches. He's rolling right now through five.
Yeah, I know. Do you think they're going to be our biggest concern as a Yankees fan?
I was about to say, who's our? Are you a Mets fan, Yankee
fan?
Yeah,
Yankee.
No, I don't fear the Dodgers. They're choke artists. They have the Mickey Mouse ring. I just don't think they're like that. I think they're destined to fail after spending all that money on Yamamoto and Ohtani. I think if they face the Mets, I think the Mets are going to smack them. I think the Mets owe them one. I think there's some type of synergy that, like, they came to Citi Field and swept the Mets, and that's when Jorge Lopez threw the glove up. I think there's something to be said about, like, that team meeting they had after that Dodgers series, where if the Dodgers face the Mets, I think they don't want that smoke. I don't think that they have the pitching to really contend with this Mets lineup, but that could be for another day. That could be for Sunday. But if it's the Yankees, Dodgers in the World Series, I would love that. That is the dream of Major League Baseball. I'll talk a little bit more about how I know that's the dream, but I think everybody knows that's obvious, right? Like, for baseball to be back and for baseball to be as big as it ever could be, like, you need the East Coast, West Coast rivalry between the Dodgers and the Yankees reignited in the World Series.
Yeah, I totally feel you there. Another question I had, who you think is going to have to come up big? I know Judge is obviously an obvious one, but you see anyone else coming up big for us in this next series, whoever we
Yeah,
see?
Bottom of the lineup, whether it's Jazz, whether it's Volpe, whether it's Verdugo. I was watching Volpe's at-bats, and I've seen him hit some hard-hit balls, and I said last night, put me down for Volpe having a big moment in this next series, whether it's a opposite field homer or a double in the gap. Like, I think Volpe is due for a big hit to drive in a couple runs or maybe a triple and just like a moment to rock Yankee Stadium. Thanks for the call, Joseph. Coming up next is Steve Summers. But quickly, why I know that, you know, Major League Baseball would love it to be the Dodgers. A couple years back, I think it was 2017. Oh, yeah, when the Astros cheated. We thought that it was going to be Yankees-Dodgers. I remember being involved in some conversations where Fox was trying to fly out some Yankee fans to do some segments and stuff. And the people that I was working with social media content and podcasts, they actually were contacted about, like, putting a group together that Fox was going to fly us out to Dodger Stadium because they really wanted to play into the dynamic of the Yankee fan base versus the Dodgers fan base. Also, when I was in the MLB fan cave, the first two locks for my class in the MLB fan cave, 2014, they knew they had to find a Dodgers fan. They knew they had to find a Yankee fan. They found my girl Serena Sanchez, who is at the game right now. She's Dodger Stadium royalty. She goes to like 80 games a year. And they found Keith McPherson, who back then was going to like one game a year. Nobody really ever heard of the guy, but they saw something in me out of 25,000 applicants where we were the first two locks. The security guard at the fan cave told me that he got an email where before they put the whole roster together, they're like, Keith McPherson to represent the New York Yankees, Serena Sanchez to represent the Dodgers. Hopefully this year in the fan cave ends with the Dodgers meeting the Yankees in 2024. It didn't happen. Fast forward 10 years ago. Maybe it happens this year. Okay, let's go get the schmooze. Steve Summers coming up next on The Fan. Joining us right now, the iconic, legendary, one and only, Steve the Schmooze Summers on The Fan.
And most people are very happy there's only one.
Your timing. This guy doesn't miss.
Yeah, how are you, Keith? And thank you for having me on.
Of course, of course. I'm good. I'm watching the Dodgers game as we're waiting to see whether the Padres or Dodgers will face your make-it-happen Mets. And as we just rejoined, one of the questions I wanted to ask you about is Howie Rose. We just heard Howie Rose's call of Francisco Lindor's Grand Slam. Like, what a magical run the Mets are on. And
well,
can you speak to Howie Rose calling the game and obviously, you know, what he does for the Mets fans?
Yeah, that call goes up there with Mateau, and, you know, the Rangers winning it in 94. What the Mets have, first of all, at my age, it's not easy to get aroused. But I have been just that, watching this. It goes beyond miracle. It goes beyond dramatic. It goes beyond electric. It goes beyond exciting. And you can't wait until the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning, you know, to see what the Mets are going to do, especially if it's tied or if they're trailing. What they did, I had tears in my eyes watching what they did, what Lindor did in Atlanta. What they did in Atlanta, what they did in Milwaukee, without having a day off, with all of this traveling, and then, of course, you know, what they did with dreaded and hated Philadelphia. I mean, just unimaginable from where they were, starting at what, 0-5 and being 11 games under 500. And to me, it began when Lopez threw that glove into the stands. Then you have with the grimace. Then you have with, oh, my God. And then you have maybe Ohtani. I was telling Paulie Rosenberg that I would prefer for the team to lose to the New York Mets. I would rather it be the Dodgers.
Yeah, well, they're up 1-0 right now. And I was talking about maybe there's some cosmic energy, a full circle moment where, you know, that team meeting that came after being swept by the Dodgers, maybe you get some payback in the NLCS. Yeah, let's go back. I was laughing with you talking about being aroused because when the Yankees were swept by the Mets, you said that that was some type of optical orgasm watching that. I mean, who knew we'd get here where now all the conversation as we await the next opponent is of having a Subway Series. So if you could think back to 2000, I was 11 going on 12. I don't remember it as much as, like, I don't remember pitch by pitch, inning by inning. I definitely wasn't in New York City, but if you could go back in time and tell us what you remember about how that felt and what that was like, I think that'd be great for some of the younger listeners that are trying to imagine it.
And it's funny, too, because in 2000, the 1999 team, you can make the argument was actually a better team than the 2000. And of course, you know, for the Metropolitans, I mean, you know, just think for a second, you know, what back in March and in spring training, did you ever hear of Vientos or Iglesias, that the kind of heroes they would be? Never mind about Lindor and Nimmo and who would have thunk about what Manaea has done and what Quintana has done, and Severino, who does give up home runs, where he has, you know, bared down. It is beyond really miracle, but 2000, you know, that was then, and this is now. And I also recall Lucas Duda in 2015 with a terrible throw, and Harvey going out to pitch the ninth inning. This is all payback from all of the disappointment, all of the heartache, all of the, you know, misery that has been so associated, you know, with the Mets history. Yeah, you can go back to 69 for those old enough, and you can certainly even refer back to another generation of 86 when the Mets were miraculous and you were believing in them. But this is something. It's such a cliche to say magical, or such a cliche to say electric or dramatic, but it goes beyond miraculous. It goes beyond what any of us thought, you know, from June 1st on. I believe they had the best record in Major League Baseball, and it is so exciting. I know that you're not the Met fan, and I know with the Yankees, I would love to see, Keith, a Subway Series. That has always been a goal. That would be a dream. It would ignite and electrify the entire city. And even those passive baseball fans would be into it. You know, within the same family, you'll have a Yankee fan, you'll have a Met fan. And your Yankees really got a break with Baltimore and Houston eliminated. Because, you know, listen, we know Jose Ramirez can be and has been a Yankee killer with the Guardians. And we certainly know that it would be easier for your Yankees to beat Detroit, especially if their DH, Carpenter, Kerry Carpenter, is not going to play in the American League Championship Series. But the story really has been front page and back page, the New York Metropolitans. It is beyond miraculous.
Sure. The Yankees were expected to be here. I mean, even though they went 82-80 last year, when you go out and trade for Juan Soto and you have Aaron Judge, who's an MVP, like, you're expected to get here. With the Mets, I tip my cap to the ownership, the president of baseball operations, and the manager, because they were the ones saying back in spring training and even in June and London series that they expected this to be a postseason team. And what I say the difference is with these Mets and those guys leading the way is that they're not just passengers. They were actively changing the team. You know, they got Adrian Hauser out of here, Joey Wendell out of here, DJ Stewart. He was here for a little while, but you're gone too. Like, you know, they added guys at the deadline, like a Jesse Winker, who's been huge. Even their moves, like Sean Manaea, Luis Severino, Harrison Bader, yeah, those guys have come up big. Can you speak to Steve Cohen, who literally said he's here to slay the negativity that Mets fans have around the team? David Stearns in his first year getting this success, and Carlos Mendoza, who's obviously going to be manager of the year.
And nobody misses Vogelbach either, especially those who want something to eat after the game. But the bottom line is, no, you have to give them credit. But, you know, in their heart of hearts, if they were really going to be honest with all of us, they would admit that this is something they didn't expect. And certainly how it has happened, who would expect? It has been, you know, like fantasy land. It has been like dreamland. It has been, I mean, they all are going to say the right thing publicly. I'm sure they were willing to give a pass to this year at the very beginning, especially the way the Metropolitans started off the season. But then again, you know, since June 1st, they have the best record in baseball. But it's not just having the best record in baseball. It's how they have been going about winning. And each day that goes by is better than the last day when it comes to drama. And as I say, you wait for the Mets to come up in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning. Never mind about being the first to score. Never mind about what happens in the first half of the game. It's all about with the Mets, 6, 7, 8, and 9, and winning it. And it could be with two outs and nobody on, and stringing together. The line keeps moving, 3-4 hits in a row. And now the Vientos with the power, and Nimmo, you know, back in 2011, Keith, when the Mets, he didn't even have high school baseball back in, where was it, to Utah, where he was growing up, and drafted by the Mets in 2011, and nobody would have thought that coming into his own would mean power and learning to play the outfield like an all-star. I mean, with Nimmo and Lindor, nobody's complaining about his contract now.
Right.
That's for sure. I mean, and you're talking about generations from now, Metropolitan fans will be talking about what Lindor did against Atlanta, what Lindor did against Philadelphia, what Lindor, the kind of season. And if it wasn't for Ohtani, he'd be the MVP.
Absolutely. I've been campaigning for him for months now, but we know it won't happen. What about this guy, Pete Alonso? How about, you know, this guy in his darkest hour when fans were saying he should be dropped in the lineup, he hasn't produced, this guy isn't worth anything, no way do we want him back next year. He hits a homer off of Devin Williams in Milwaukee to win that game, and then gets the monkey off his back, and he came up big in the Philadelphia series. Pete Alonso is back, and he's having a good time with this playoff pumpkin. Speak about Pete Alonso, because he's the guy that has been here all of these years for the Mets, and now he's really getting to shine in this moment as well.
See, you have to remember, he was deserving of that kind of skepticism. He was deserving of that kind of criticism because he was not performing. And here he is in his walk year, and everyone knows he wants to be a Met, and the Mets really want him to come back. He's really one of the faces of the franchise. And with some Metropolitan fans, he is the face of the franchise. And he was not producing, sort of like your Aaron Judge so far, after the four games with Kansas City. What did he get, 2-3 hits and singles? But nonetheless, you are talking a face of the franchise, and he was not performing. And Metropolitan fans have been conditioned over the years. I mean, 69, 86, even getting to the World Series in 2015, even with Cespedes, even with Harvey, when they had their moment, their 15 minutes of fame, if you will. Bottom line is, Alonso was not putting up the numbers. He was not doing well. But now, that's what superstars can do. And we have seen it from Lindor, and now we're seeing the comeback from Alonso. And here's another thing about Alonso that you have to really check the box. His defense. Mm-hmm. He has been making picks. He is ranging not all that far to his right as he used to do and, get in the way of the second baseman moving to his left, making a play. But his defense has so improved. So the picks that he is making over there and the quick tags. And if you're a right-handed first baseman, it's not that easy with making the plays you need to make, whether, you know, it's turning a double play, making that throw to second base, whether it's making a pick, whatever it is, you're at a somewhat of a disadvantage being a right-handed first baseman. But the bottom line, he has been just all-star and gold glove-ish over there at first base. So his hitting seems to be coming around. And again, I'm hoping that the team that is going to lose to the Metropolitans is going to be Hollywood.
Yeah, here we are in the bottom of the sixth. Dodgers still lead 1-0, one out. Yamamoto is out of the game, five innings for a $325 million pitcher that everybody in New York seemed to won a couple months ago. Another question for you. Were you able to get to any of the games against the Phillies, and will you be out there for this next series?
That's a possibility. At the moment, I would say no. I would love to be out there, but the bottom line is if I need to watch on TV, it's appointment watching, that's for sure. But I would be there in spirit. There's no question about it. Yeah, there might be an opportunity. I've gone to a couple of games this year with Bob Huesler. I even went to one Cubs-Mets game with Francesa and John Minko and Bob Huesler as well. So they are really handling that kind of a situation if I'm lucky enough and fortunate enough to go. I'd go there now, waiting for any of the games. I would be riding out on that seven train right now if I could.
Yeah, I saw your guy Jerry Seinfeld getting a ton of camera time during the game, so I know he's out there. And it looked like a ridiculous scene. I said it looked like AI, artificial intelligence, because not that many people expected to see people dancing in the streets of Flushing after celebrating a trip to the National League Championship Series. But here we are, you know, waiting to see who they're going to face.
And those lucky and fortunate people, and look at how expensive. But, you know, again, you know, if you're able to afford, you know, tickets to the Yankees and to the Metropolitans, I think I saw something online with the Atlantic where if you want to sit behind the dugout at Yankee Stadium, it's $31,000. Mm-hmm.
Something crazy like that. I wouldn't know. I'll be around there, but I'm not paying that much money for that. I did see good though, Steve. The Mets were dropping. The Mets were dropping the price for standing room only day of game four down to like $80. I thought that was excellent. I'm like, just if you want to just be there, $80 to get in.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. But, you know, this is what Major League Baseball and the teams, you know, it's what's done. And, you know, if you and I had hedge funds and were in the same inner circle as a Steve Cohen and a Hal Steinbrenner, you know, it would be, you know, it would be something, but and affordable. But in this day and age, better to spend that money on groceries and gas for your car.
Steve, did you hear they let Rob Saleh go over with the Jets?
Oh, well, absolutely. He was not the right guy. I mean, he's a terrific guy, more defensive-oriented, of course. You know, there's some criticism that I don't think it's going to make much of a difference. And they got rid of Hackett, and that's also an issue. And I will never believe in my heart of hearts, Keith, that Aaron Rodgers didn't have some say in what he thought of Saleh. And Hackett, he's known forever, as you know. But Hackett, the play calling was stale, it was predictable, and it was unsuccessful. He's a terrible play caller. And Saleh was like a member of the Wax Museum standing there on the sidelines. He had no clue with what was going on offensively. And, you know, I think he kept his hands off or might have contributed a little bit to what he really knows, which is defense. But really, Rodgers is old. And Rodgers is as much to blame, Keith, as anybody else. He's out there not performing. He's looking his age. He's not evasive. He's not as mobile as he used to be. His throws, the last two games, his throws were bad. I mean, he made a couple of plays, sure. But you could say that about Minshew. You could say that about, how about Stroud, though? He has been terrific. And, of course, in Washington, look out for the Commanders. But the bottom line is Rodgers has looked his age. He hasn't been good. He's been good in one game, but they have lost. You can't lose. You can't score 9 points against Denver and not be held accountable and responsible. You know, sometimes I get the impression that Rodgers may think he's back in Egypt.
Yeah, and then he threw three interceptions in London, and they fired the head coach right after that. Steve, you're the man.
Oh, yeah. And it's not going to make much of a difference, I don't think. And you know, at least if they beat the Bills, you know, coming up, they're tied for first. So I don't think it's going to make much difference now that they made that change like that.
I don't think so either. But we've got a ton of sports on the national stage. The Mets in the NLCS, the Yankees in the ALCS, Sunday Night Football with the Giants, Monday Night Football with the Jets. I know you'll be watching, and I know somebody's listening. They're going to send that sweet ticket your way so that you can be in Queens for one of these games.
Well, I don't want to take somebody else's seat. Yes. And here's one question for you, because I didn't see it, but how did your Icelanders do in their opening game?
Well, I was at the Devils opening night last night, and we're just going to pretend that's an exhibition. I don't know what the Icelanders did. The Rangers, I saw, beat up the Penguins on the night that the Yankees won. But, yeah, hockey is right back, and we've got everything going, waiting on the NBA next.
Yeah, your Devils are in for, what are they, 2-1? And the Icelanders are, they have a loss, what a shame. But nonetheless, the bottom line is, we have everything going on. It's a cornucopia of the games people play, and, you know, it's just a great time of year, especially for the Metropolitans, especially for the Yankees, and we're that much closer to everybody's dream of a Subway Series. How great would that be?
I'm not dreaming of it, but if it happens, so be it. So be it.
You know the Mets would win that World Series.
I don't know. I don't know who's going to win the World Series. I'm just waiting for the Yankees to win it.
Yes, I understand. Thank you so much for having me on.
Steve, you're the man. Appreciate you.
Anytime. Thanks so much, Keith.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Schmooze back on the Fan. All right, here we are, approaching the 10 o'clock hour. It's 1-0 in Chavez Ravine. The Dodgers are up. Shohei Ohtani is 0-3 with 2 strikeouts. Boo, they should bench him. They should drop him in the order. He's terrible. He can't do it in the postseason. Not my MVP. It should be Lindor. Yeah, all of that narrative. And, of course, we're still talking about the Jets and the Giants and the Yankees, and we're talking sports. You just heard some puck talk. I'll take some calls on the Devils, the Icelanders. Steve always thinks I'm an Icelanders fan. I'm a Devils fan. I'm a Jersey boy from the Garden State. I don't rock with them. I've never been to UBS Arena. I may never go. I would like to see the Rangers in Madison Square Garden. Anyway, pretty soon we'll have the Knicks and the Nets and everything going on. It's the most wonderful time. Tis the postseason. Keith McPherson on the Fan, taking your calls at 888-808-1019. I'm running out of time. 2 hours left to join the show. Call us now. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back real quick. KM to AM on the Fan. 2 more hours to go. And as we get to the last hour, I usually open it up, open mic. But I know what's about to happen after this game goes final. We will know who the Mets will face in the NLCS. So we're going to talk about that. I did want to sprinkle some stuff in for the Jets fans. I just earlier said it's the blind leading the blind. And you may have just heard Steve Summers talk a little bit about Rob Saleh and the play calling and Nathaniel Hackett and what they're doing over there. If you didn't hear Steve Summers, you can rewind back to 920 in the free Odyssey app. All of this does go to podcasts as well. If you search Keith McPherson wherever you get your podcast, you can listen to any part of the show on demand. Paulie will be sure to upload that. And last but not least, I do want to start talking hockey, start talking puck. It was great to be back in Prudential Center last night. The Devils are first class. They always show me love, take care of me. I was literally in there watching the Devils go down 3-0 in the first like 7 minutes. And then I had my phone out trying to watch the Yankees, and then the service was cutting out, so I found a nice spot to watch up on the concourse, on the main concourse, and then I met a bunch of WFAN fans, Yankee fans wearing Devils gear, and we kind of just created a little group of Yankee fans just there watching the Yankees score run, so that was great. The Rangers open up tomorrow in Madison Square Garden, I believe, and the Devils are back on the ice facing the Washington Capitals. The Islanders will be in Dallas facing the Stars. So, yeah, hockey is back. We've got the WNBA with the Liberty trying to win a championship, and the NBA returns next week, I believe. So, 888-808-1019, 2 hours left. Keith McPherson on the Fan, right back after this.